We saw creation in chapters 1 and 2. Creation in chapters 1 and 2. And then we started with the curse in chapter 3, all the way down to chapter 4 and verse number 15. Talking about the curse, we saw a fallen race in chapter number 3. And we talked about all these things last week in verses 1 through 8. We saw man's fall and the introduction of sin here upon this earth. And that brings us to verse number 9, where we left off. And Lord willing, I believe we'll get to the end of the chapter tonight, verses 9 to 24. But what we've outlined, in my outline, Roman numeral 2 was a curse. A, a fallen race. 1, man's fall. 2, man's future. Man's future. Let's read the passage here in verse number 9, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, and then we'll pray. It says in verse number 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, so thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, God, for the great day you've given us. Thank you for Hunter over in Junior Church getting saved today. Thank you, Lord, for the Goshen route and being faithful and visiting and him coming today. Father, I praise you for that. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you just please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless Brother Roberts, who will be preaching here in just moments. Lord, I pray for Brother Harris, who will be preaching a little bit as well. Brother Elam, as they're all out west, I pray that, Lord, you bless them, please. And Lord, I just pray for wisdom on Brother Alexander's heart there, that you give him wisdom and guidance. Father, we love you, and Lord, we just pray you bless our service here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at this real quick, man's future. In verse number 9, and we left off, they sinned. They knew they sinned. The glory of God was gone. Verse number 9, I want you to see, Adam is summoned. Adam is summoned. It says, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam and Eve now were very aware that the wages of sin is death. When God called out and said, Adam, where art thou? God knew where Adam was. We all know that, right? He's God. But he wanted Adam to realize where Adam was. And Adam, where Adam was, as he say, well, he was hiding behind a tree in the Garden of Eden. No, where God wanted Adam to realize he was lost. Adam had no hope now because he had eaten of the fruit, he had sinned, and because of sin, the Bible refers to it as the mystery of iniquity. It is the law of sin, and the law of sin is that sin demands death. Now, praise God, Jesus conquered that and delivered us from it. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, that the sting of death, it's in the and the law, it is gone. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Adam and Eve at this point, Adam was summoned, and He realized that he was lost. There in verse number 9. Understand this, that before someone can get saved, they have to know they're lost. And otherwise, what are you getting saved from? And so God was just speaking to him. And that's why, if you'll notice, again, I adore the fact that in the Scriptures, there's no, you know, you don't read of anyone and what they said when they got saved. Because if we had it in Scriptures, we'd all just try to mimic it perfectly and be counting on that, right? But it's not about what we do, it's about what He's done. And just simply our faith. But over and over again, no matter who it is, when the Lord's speaking to Nicodemus, the woman at the well, when the Philippian jailer, whoever it is, they all had to come to a point where they realized they were a sinner. And they needed a Savior. So the Lord calls out and says, Adam, where art thou? And Adam realized he was lost. You see, Adam summoned. Then in verse number 10, down to verse number 13, Adam is searched. Adam is searched. He had to face his sin. It says in verse number 10, and he said, I heard the voice of thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Now in verse number 10, you see, first of all, Adam's explanation. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now we all have our own story of salvation. But faith cometh by what?
Hearing
by the Word of God. And most of us, maybe not everybody, but most of us in this auditorium did not get saved the first time we heard salvation and the gospel. Most of us, like Adam, tried to hide ourselves for a bit. Or tried to run from that for a bit. You know, I don't know how many sermons I heard in my life before I got saved. Maybe some of you got saved very quickly. Praise the Lord for that. I think one of the issues of when we are raised in church is that it becomes words to us and we don't listen like we should. And that was me, and I wasn't listening. But Adam here, he realized that he was lost, and his explanation was, I heard, and I hesitated, and I hid. Look at verse number 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Many of us have the same testimony in our salvation. We heard, kind of were afraid of things. Some were afraid to walk forward. Some were afraid, some were whatever the case may be, afraid to make that decision at first. And we maybe hid ourselves for a bit. But aren't you glad you stepped forward one day and got saved? Amen. We see his explanation in verse number 10. Then you see his excuse, verses 11 and 12. Verse number 11, it says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, or have I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? His excuse. Number one, this is really sad that he did this. In verse number 12, the man said, when the Lord asked him this, he said, the woman, now notice what he said, whom thou gavest to be with me. He blamed God at first. The woman thou gavest me to be with me. So what a terrible, terrible thing for Adam to do. It was. There's still a lot of people that blame God for the mess of their life and the mess of this world. They want to point a finger at God, and that's what Adam did first. He tried to blame, I wrote in my outline, tried to blame the holy. The thing you'll notice, he tried to blame his helpmeet. The woman that thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So he blames God and then he blames his helpmeet. He blames Eve. He's pointing a finger at, and that's what a lot of people do when conviction's there. We always immediately point at other people. I see it in school all the time. And some little kid gets in trouble, or teenager, or even adults. Seen that too. When we know we're guilty, one of the first things we do is to say, yeah, but how about? Or the kid will say, yeah, but they were doing, fill in the blank. We love to point fingers at other people to deflect our own guilt and our own conviction. And that's what Adam did at first. He pointed a finger at God. He which is holy has helped me, but then finally, praise the Lord, he blamed himself. It says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, but look what he said, I did eat. Adam made the choice to sin. Again, if we're going to get, praise the Lord, how many of you are saved tonight? Say amen. Praise the Lord for that. But if you're saved tonight, it's because number one, you realize that you were a sinner. And number two, you confess that you are a sinner. Now, we all have different words and different experiences, but the fact is this, we knew we were lost, and we knew that we had done wrong. So you see Adam, his explanation, and then you see his excuses. And then verse number 13, you see his example. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? So now he turns to Eve, and I say his example because she followed Adam's pattern here. Say, what'd she do? She blamed someone else. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Eve does the same thing. She blames the serpent, but then she blames herself. The serpent, he beguiled me, but then she said, I did eat. So you see his example. So we saw Adam was summoned, Adam was searched, and then you see in verses 14 and 19, Adam is now sentenced. God now has to judge sin. Verses 14 and 19. First of all, number one, we see this, that the sentence upon the serpent. If you want to write a word next to this, the sentence upon the serpent, write the word war. Verses 14 and 15. It says, first of all, in verse number 14, that the snake would be cursed. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. A lot of people believe that the snake could walk before this point. It actually had legs. And I've read all kinds of stuff about it. They, you know, well, did he? I wasn't there. But when you get to heaven, you can ask, or you'll know, right? But part of the curse seems to be that now, that from this point on, the snake would eat the dust, or in other words, slither across the earth. But the snake would be cursed. I wrote down a couple words next to this verse. I wrote down the word feared, thought, and filthy. Because he gave himself, and the devil used this serpent, but the serpent was cursed. Again, verse number 14 is not directed towards the devil, it's directed towards the serpent. And I wrote down feared, thought, and filthy, because that's what the serpent would be from this point on. Be feared. Normal people are fearful of snakes. You say, well, I'm not fearful of them. Well, amen. Right? But the fact is this, that they were cursed. Most of us, if you were to come and sit in your pew and all of a sudden the snake slithered under your feet, you wouldn't say, oh, that's cute. We would think that we're having a revival, probably. All right, you'd be running, jumping, amen. All right? They're feared. They're fought. Snakes are, killed, usually, when seen. I know there's some great benefits. You're in a barn, you want a good black snake crawling around, right? I'm glad I don't have a barn. All right, I get that, all right? But I remember I was weed eating out here in the ditch line, and this little garden snake, it's probably this big, popped its head up. I started running. I was like, oh, I'm screaming. I was like, I hate them things, man. But then it just hit me. You're holding a 6-foot weed eater, man. Snakes are fought. Amen. I won. They're fought. They're feared. And they're filthy. He would eat dust the rest of his life. There's still something eerie. I've been out west. We stopped, I think we're in Nebraska. coming this way. We stopped. They hadn't seen civilization in like 2 hours. There was this little rest area where they gave you water. And we stopped. You could walk around, stretch your legs, and had signs everywhere. Rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes. Beware. Yeah, I got a drink of water and hop back in the car. It's exactly what I did, right? But you could see in the dust and the sand where the snakes had been. They slithered across there. That is all part of the curse upon the serpent. All of these things. There was the sentence of the serpent. The snake would be cursed in verse number 14, but then verse 15, Satan would be crushed. Verse number 15, now he directs to the devil. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I have some little sub-points under this, all right? But Satan would be crushed in this verse. This is a tremendous verse. This is the first prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at it real quick. I have number one, there was a fixed peril. A fixed peril. There would be war now. It says there, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. There was going to be a war now. A fixed peril. A confrontation between the devil and he who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. A fixed peril, but then I also wrote down a first prophecy. The first prophecy. The first prophecy is this, again, a supernatural Christ. It says, in between thy seed, that's the devil, and her seed. I think we all understand this, that is speaking and referring to a supernatural birth. A virgin birth. Because there's no such thing as the seed of the woman, if you're following me, all right? And so this is a prophecy of a supernatural birth, the supernatural Christ who would come. There's also the prophecy in this passage of his second coming. It shall bruise thy head. That's yet to come still. Hasn't happened yet. Praise the Lord, though someday the devil will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. That's going to be a wonderful day. You shall bruise thy head. But then you see the prophecy also of a suffering cross. Thou shalt bruise his heel. A head wound is a mortal wound. Satan would be destroyed forever. That day's coming. Bruising the heel is a temporary wound. That's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. When he died on the cross, he suffered. My, how he suffered. He cried out in pain and agony. He did all that for us. His heel was bruised. Praise the Lord, he recovered. Amen. He stepped out of that grave. So you see, Satan would be crushed. The snake would be cursed. Satan would be crushed. Then you see that not just the sentence upon the serpent, and we wrote the word war next to that, but now the sentence of Eve. The sentencing of Eve in verse number 16. If you want to write a word next to that, write the word woe. The word woe. It says, first of all, I wrote down underneath this, there will be sorrow. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. There will be sorrow. I believe that sorrow obviously refers to childbirth. But it's not just childbirth. It's probably something I am not going to pretend like I fully understand. This is part of the curse upon that God has placed upon the woman. Is that this, not only the sorrow in when a child is born, but also a mother carries something for a child, a burden, a concern, a worry, a heart that most men just can't fully understand. I'm not saying we don't love our children. We do, men. I'm not saying that we don't provide and sacrifice. We should and we do. But a mother's heart is a little bit, it was created differently. That's why when most kids fall and scratch their knee, they don't run to daddy first. They run to mom. A mother's heart, a mother's care, a mother's burden. I was talking to a couple, they're older than we are, and different stage of life, and I was speaking to them, and I was talking about, you know, the stage of life we're in, and the age of our children, and how life is changing, and this different stage that we're at, and I said, and this guy looked at me, and he said, I pray now for my children, they're completely grown up more than I ever did when they were children. He said, my wife lays awake at night longer now than she ever did when we were rearing them. He said, we always thought that once they, you know, got married and got out of the house, that, you know, you could almost, this is just a man speaking, but almost say, we did it, right? He said, but you never lose that burden. He said, but especially my wife. And I believe when the Lord says this here, it's talking that burden that a mother will carry all of her life. But you see the sentence of Eva's woe, there will be sorrow. And then there will also be being submissive. Subservience, if you will. Again, in verse number 16, continuing, it says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. When God created Adam and Eve, they stood side by side. He was male, man, she was woman. But after sin, there was a change. Now it was that she was always to be under his authority. And this would be something that every woman at times doesn't like. And again, it's part of the curse. And there's not a man worth their salt in the room that says, that's right, we're in charge, right? Not at all. Matter of fact, this is all part of the curse because of sin. And it wasn't because she messed up. The Bible says, and we looked at this last week, Adam chose to sin. She was beguiled. But part of the curse was now she would be in subjection. Here's the difference. Ready? Before, it was a pleasure to Eve to be his helpmeet. Now, it was her duty to be his helpmeet. And that's one of the great struggles in marriages still today. When two people are mature in the Lord, it can become again a pleasure to be submissive to the husband, for the man to take on his responsibility. It's the same thing to try to get an understanding. Before the curse, Adam worked the garden. Remember that? Part of the curse is now Adam would have to work the fields. But now it would be difficult. Now it would be a task. Now it would be a chore and a duty. Before, it was a thrill. And so with this and submissiveness, that before there would have been a pleasure in just being there and being that helpmeet, that's who she was created to be. Now part of the curse, there would be in her heart because of sin, because, you know, if you're not catching this, here's the bottom line. None of us like to be told what to do. We all are very rebellious. I can prove it. I could have Brother Webster put out there, wet paint, do not touch, and half of you would touch it. That's what we do, right? You know, I said, please let me know you're coming to the sports banquet, and 28 of you didn't. I'm sorry, that slipped out tonight. All right. You know, but the you know, we were rebellious. We're just going to do it our way. And you know, she now went from the joy of her life to the duty she had to fulfill. And she would have to be, and by the way, that has not changed. That's still God's plan. Sorrow and submission. The sentence of Eve is woe. And then you see the sentencing of Adam, verses 17 and 19. Anybody want to guess the words you're going to write next to that? Work. Very good. Work. Work. Verse 17 and 18. Now there would be unrewarding toil. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. You see here, there will be an unrewarding toil. Now Adam is going to have to work and till the ground and the sweat, the sweat pouring off now. Now it was not something that, you know, it was just a joy to dress the garden. Now he's going to have to go out there and till up some hard ground. Now, the soil's not going to be rich and just naturally turn over full of nutrients. Now there's going to be dead spots. Now he's going to come into what he thought was a bush, and now it's going to be sticking to his arm and scratching his arm, and blood will be trickling down his arm, and we've all been there. Now the sun's going to be scorching down upon him, and he's going to get tired. He's going to grow and be happy with it. All of a sudden, an animal comes and eats half of it, right? That's just part of it. It wasn't that way before. And now he's going to be working and working and working, and seemingly it's never going to end. And it hasn't. We still do that. And by the way, that's the responsibility God put upon the man. We should want and desire, if we have an able and a body that is able to do that, men should strive to work hard for their families and provide. Amen. There's an unrewarding toil. I'm not saying by unrewarding he didn't get anything out of it, but he sure wasn't getting out of it what he used to. An unrewarding toil. Then in the end of verse number 18 and 19, there was an unrelenting terror. It says in verse number 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. What's that mean, return to the ground? He's going to die. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What was he telling Adam? You're going to die. There was no death before. You're going to die. Can you imagine the terror? I mean, even if we got that, God forbid, but if any of us sat in front of a doctor this week and they looked at us and said, you have whatever, you're going to die in 6 months. I mean, we don't even like thinking that way. But we see it and know it and know it happens all the time, right? Every day. Adam had what? I'm going to what? You're going to die. The wages of sin is what? You're going to die. I created you out of the dust of the ground, and you will return to dust. Adam lived a long life from here. We know that. But every day, he didn't know if that was his last. We have a life expectancy now, don't we? Anything can happen. We understand that. But typically, most of us, in the future, not now, because there's a normal, I hate saying that, but there's a normalcy about things. That's why it's very unnormal when a young person passes away. It shouldn't be unnormal, but it is to us, because we have this expectancy. Adam didn't. Hey, Adam, how long is someone going to live? I have no idea. Right? There wasn't anyone before him. He lived every day with the thought in his head that God had told him, you will die. So he lived with this unrelenting terror. So you see, Adam's summoned, Adam was searched, Adam is sentenced. The wages of sin is death. Adam faced that. But letter D in my outline, Adam is saved. Amen. I expect to see Adam in heaven one day. Adam is saved. Absolutely. And then his wife. Verse number 20, down to verse number 24. Number one, God acts in grace. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. God acts in grace. First of all, you see Adam's confession in verse number 20. I was asked by someone, and I didn't know the answer. They said, why did Adam name his wife Eve after the fall? Never thought about it. It's a good question. I mean, when God presented her to him, he could have said, I will call you Eve. Because he was good at naming everything. He named every other animal, right? Yeah, yeah. But on the oranges and everything else. But he didn't. He called her woman until after the fall. And then after the fall and after the sentencing of God, it says that Adam and Adam, after God says what he did in verse 18 and 19, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Why after the fall? Why after God's sentencing? What's going on with this? Well, in verse number 19, what had God just told Adam? That he was going to what? Die. He was going to die. Up there in verse number 15, God speaks, and obviously the devil, Adam and Eve, hear this. I will put enmity between thee and the woman's seed, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord prophesies that others are coming. Right? Then he tells Adam in verse 19, you're going to die. But Adam says, he doesn't call her some other name, which means mother of the dying. Amen? He calls her Eve because that name means what? Mother of all the living. What's Adam doing? He believed what God had said in verse 15. He was confessing his faith. He knew there was death. But God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And Eve is not the mother of the dying. She was the mother of all what? Living. He recognized it was just a simple, pure faith. He didn't know everything. All he knew, to our knowledge, is what we just read. But he believed the Lord. Faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Adam didn't understand at all. But there was promise. Sin brought death. But there was one coming who would bring deliverance. And Adam believed that. So you see Adam's confession. Then you see Adam's covering in verse number 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Preached on this verse probably a month ago, I guess. But Adam's covering. When I say Adam, I mean Adam and Eve. But can you imagine the terrible sight that they just had to watch in this verse? We don't think much about it. They'd never seen an animal slain. They'd never heard the cry of that creature before like that. They'd never seen blood spilled out. And the terror that they probably no doubt went through in watching this. And you and I, unfortunately, we've gotten so used to things, we don't see it as awful as it was. Because the same thing that happens here is the same thing that our Lord Jesus went through on the cross for us. I wrote down three words next to this in verse number 21. Number one, a cost. The cost was the innocent had to be slain. That animal didn't do anything wrong. That animal was slain. We see the cost and we see a covering. Not only was the innocent slain, but the covering, the indecent, was covered. It says there, the Lord made coats of skin. He took the skins of this animal and covered their shame and covered their nakedness. You see the cost and the covering, and then you see their clothing. Their clothing. The unable was delivered. It says there, unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. They didn't even clothe themselves. We pointed this out a month ago. God clothed them. God could have let them put it on themselves, but the Bible specifically says that God clothed them. And I think because that is the principle right there. You and I, if you're saved tonight, again, just to make sure you're awake, if you're saved, say amen. It's because you believe that the price was paid. The innocent was slain. He who knew no sin became sin for us. What a terrible, terrible, terrible sight that would have been. We take it for granted. But he was slain for us. Our sins were covered. Our shame was covered. And then we were clothed in his righteousness. What a blessing that is. Then we have number one. Number was God acts in grace. And then we'll close. God acts in government. Verses 22 to 24. You see, first of all, in verse number 22, the mind of God. It says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil." When he says he's become as one of us, because before sin, Adam didn't know what evil was. Adam had never experienced conviction, hurt, that darkness that comes with sin. Adam had never experienced that, and even never experienced that God knew what it was. And now Adam and Eve have become like them in knowing good and evil. You see the mind of God, but then you see the mercy of God. And now, verse 22, "Lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Again, I do not believe, and I stand by my statement, we don't have to keep eating that fruit in heaven to be able to live forever. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, not a tree. Now, them on this earth, apparently there was a supernatural working on earth. And I say God's mercy. God kept them from eating of this tree. That was an act of mercy. See, how is it an act of mercy? Who wants to live in this sin-cursed world forever? I believe, again, that's why one of the reasons why the Lord wept when he called Lazarus back from the grave. He knew where Lazarus was. To bring him back to this sin-cursed world. I have loved ones in heaven. While I would love, and I can't wait to see them again, I wouldn't want them to have to experience this wicked world another moment. Praise God they've been delivered from all that. And I look forward to that day. It's an act of mercy. And so God, you see the mind of God and the mercy of God. This angel was placed there. In verse number 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." You see the moving of God. God sends Adam away to work, to toil. And then you see lastly the might of God in verse 24. "So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So what all's going on here? Again, I think it helps us in some ways to kind of narrow down, not that this is important, but they went east. And we know where civilization, most people agree, in that Mesopotamia Valley, which was east of where we've been speaking of. It kind of gives you an idea. But the important part is this, that now because of sin, and I know that the sacrifice was made, but the fellowship, what used to be with God, could no longer be. I'm not saying Adam could not speak to God and God could not speak to Adam, but it wasn't like it was. You say, well, I think it is. Well, it's not. We can have fellowship with God right now, but it's not what it's going to be. Amen? It's going to be a whole lot better. We're going to see Him, walk with Him, we at His feet, talk to Him. That's going to be a wonderful day. It's wonderful now, but it's not as good as it's going to get. For Adam, it was, he could have that, but it wasn't what it used to be. There was a separation now. They had to leave that. There was a sword talked about. To keep them from the garden, which no doubt was destroyed during the flood. But also that tree we know to be in heaven, according to the book of Revelation. It's interesting also, and I know we're 6:40, but a cherubim is always connected to the presence of God. And it just wasn't going to be for Adam and us like it's going to be for us and how it was for Adam at one time. I think there's something as a connection, and we'll talk about it later in Genesis 4:26. I'll just read that verse to you real quick. We're right here. It says, "And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." In this transition, they had to leave. And men, I don't know how to explain this, probably should have thought about this probably deeper, but they were separated from God, and there was a learning there. And how to prayer, worship. And it took a generation before they began to call upon the Lord, like the fellowship like they used to have. But this cherubim guarded the way to the tree of life, kept them from it. And Adam would not enjoy that walk in the cool of the day with God like he used to. Taking care of creation was not going to be the joy that it used to be. For Eve, the pleasure of being Adam's helpmeet was now going to become a duty and a task that always wasn't an enjoyable experience. When she would give birth, there would be much sorrow, travail, and pain. The curse of sin changed everything. Animals will begin to change. Thorns and thistles. I believe, study more. But the world began to change. We'll stop. And fear and sin began to replace peace and joy. The devil sits back and he says, "I got you, God." But then God provides a way of salvation. Oh, God always does. But now, there's war. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman." Now, there's a battle. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." But there is a battle going on. That battle between good and evil, the devil, and the Lord, the church, it's still going on. Between my wicked flesh and that new divine nature I have, there's a battle going on. There's a war because of sin. But the good news is, and we all know this because we know this book, that even though sin brought all these terrible things, none of it took God by surprise. Even before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for man. And I'm thankful that there is a way to glory. Salvation's plan has been paid for now through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory.